was just reading something during the commercial break from Chris Perkins at the Sun Sentinel. I thought it was interesting. The headline interested me, so I was trying to read it quickly because he says, Chris Perkins says, the Dolphins' Zach Sealer deserves an extension for who he is, not what he is. And I, as I peruse it, Dolphins defensive tackle Zach Sealer doesn't deserve a raise just because he's a high-quality football player who has back-to-back 10-sack seasons and was voted team MVP last season. Sealer doesn't deserve a raise just because he's a high-quality guy. Make no mistake, he's both of those, and they're both part of the reason the Dolphins should extend his contract. But to me, Sealer, who turns 30 on September 7th, deserves a raise because he also embodies everything this franchise wants, this team wants, this community wants. On a team searching for culture change, Sealer exemplifies the mountaintop. On a team that's been accused of financially disrespecting players searching for a new contract, Sealer could represent a break from that narrative. In short, this isn't about money, this is about respect. Sealer is a hard worker, a self-made guy who came up from the NFL ashes. You know his story. He's a 2018 seventh-round pick by Baltimore, who was a walk-on at Division II Ferris State in Michigan. After being cut by the Ravens in December 2019, he was signed by the Dolphins. He and his wife drove to South Florida in an RV that doubled as their home. Since then, he's worked his way into the starting lineup and become one of the NFL's most productive interior defensive linemen over the last 2 years. He's been more productive than fellow defensive tackle Christian Wilkins, a good friend, ex-Dolphins teammate, and former first-round pick, who's now with Vegas on a four-year, $110 million contract. You've got to respect Sealer's journey, his perspective, and his selflessness. We have more than we ever imagined, Sealer said Thursday. I'm beyond blessed for these last 7 years alone. My wife and I love how our life has turned out. It's been just awesome. Now I do feel that respect coming, and I think I've earned it, and I know I've earned it. And he goes on to speak today, and Chris Perkins writes, that quote is one of the big reasons I favor giving Sealer a contract extension. Sealer has certainly been respected by the Dolphins in many ways. They gave him a three-year, $30 million contract extension in 2023, but he deserves more respect. Don't get it twisted. This isn't an attempt to canonize Sealer or make him into some larger-than-life being. He's human. He has faults as everyone else. This is intended to say Sealer's impact and influence goes beyond the field, the locker room, and meeting rooms, and delves into the realm of setting a good example, which this team needs. For example, one of the things Sealer mentioned a few times Thursday was he's here because this is a critical time for team building and setting a tone that lasts throughout the season. He feels it's more important to be here and be an essential part of that tone setting rather than sitting out worried about money. Oh, and here's something else. Sealer could have opted for a hold in, a technique some players utilize when they want more money, instead of a holdout during which a player doesn't report to training camp and subjects himself to fines and risks being a distraction to the team. A hold in entails showing up and participating in some drills, but not all drills. Players usually sit out the 11-on-11s when injury risk is the highest. Chris Perkins continues, the Dolphins will likely put on pads next week or in early August. That's when Sealer's injury risk increases. He declined to say today whether he'd utilize hold-in techniques when the pads come on, which Wilkins did in 2023. We're not there yet. I'm not going to speculate. But right now, I'm out there with the guys. I'm going to keep being out there with the guys, and we're going to keep growing as a unit. In other words, Sealer is choosing to put the team's needs ahead of his own needs. He's always operated in such an unselfish fashion. That's another reason he deserves a contract extension.
First off, him doing media availability and portraying this is genius for his contract negotiations. Because now the world,
I mean,
seems...
just got a great column from Chris Perkins. I mean, because you do that, you give to the media that kind of access and tell them what you're actually feeling. And if it resonates, which it obviously did with Chris Perkins, I mean, that does him, that does Zach Sealer a whole hell of a lot of good.
Yeah, so that was genius on his side. I think he's with I think he's with Drew.
Whoever is he with
Drew? I believe so. But whoever his agent is, that was genius. He's with Drew, right? Yeah, and Drew knows what he's doing. No. Don't act mad. Go talk to him and just say you want a new contract, but you love to be here. You love to set the tone, be here for your teammates. So I do think he's a genuine guy, but that was a genius move business-wise. And, you know, I'm always on to just do your damn job. Be a good football player. He is a good football player. But there is something to the locker room, as we've seen, the lack of leadership and all that stuff, that that change of culture. Look, who is it? These are all going to be great players. Buffalo, that's who keeps winning the AFCs. Josh Allen, Deion Dawkins, Tre'Davious White when he was there. Like, they were the team. They had that tough mentality. The Eagles, Jalen Hurts and Lane Johnson, and when Jason Kelce was there, you knew what they were about. Talking about, like, finding an identity, I can go through all the top teams. The Ravens, we're going to run the ball. Yeah, so we have Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson here, and we have a bunch of badass defenders. This is what we do. We're trying to find an identity. You need some guys to find an identity around. The track meet thing was cute until the track meet thing stopped working. So Tua, Tyreek, Waddle, we're going to be doing A-Chan, the fastest team in the league, but we're not winning any playoff games. So I think they do need something solid on the defensive side of the ball. Because I told y'all the other day, I can't name their linebackers right now.
They have to pay him just based on this. You talk about identity. When you think back to the 2023 team, we're all in agreement, right? Since the rebuild started in whatever, 2018, 2019, the best team the Dolphins have had was in 2023. When you think back to that team, nobody's here anymore outside of Waddle, Tyreek Hill, and Tua. Like, just think about the leaders of the team, right? Like, the guys who, when you think of that team, when you think of the Dolphins, were like the lifeline, the heart of that team. Everybody's gone. Tron Armstead is gone. Robert Hunt is gone. Christian Wilkins, Raekwon Davis, Andrew Van Ginkle, Jerome Baker, David Long, Xavier Howard, Jalen Ramsey, Javon Holland. They're all gone. And the only person who remains, who you look at and you say, that's our guy, Tua Tagovailoa, Jalen Waddle, Tyreek, but that's kind of murky right now, and Zach Sealer. That's it. When you say, that's our guy. The Ravens gave up on him. We brought him here, and he became an NFL starter, that caliber of player. He made himself known. And now you let all those guys walk, or you cut them, or you traded them. You can't do the same
because of prohibitive contracts.
Right. Yeah. You can't do the same with everybody. Like, at a certain point, you have to pay somebody.
But do they have enough money to pay him what he wants? I don't know if he's tilting at windmills. Like, I don't know if they have it.
To give him a big contract. And to your point, the names that should have been on that list are Jalen Phillips. But I think due to injury, you don't put him on that list because he's not out there enough. He's the hell of a – he might be our best defensive player. Bradley Chubb injured. Chop Robinson too young. He hasn't done enough to be that. Like you're saying, those staples. Like, when I think about defensive staples, you're talking about Zach Thomas and Jason Taylor and guys like that. We don't have those guys right now. Where they're the Dolphins, they're going to be here. That's the defense, and we're going to put eight guys around them.
I wonder, too, if Stephen Ross and, you know, Chris Greer, even though I think he'd be part of it, are saying, hey, let's not do anything out of control with any of these guys, because if it goes south this year, we are blowing this thing up.
That has to be a conversation.
Has to be.
For sure.
And maybe it's not necessarily a conversation with Chris Greer because he'd be part of the implosion, but that could be Stephen Ross's thought process when it comes to Jonnu Smith and Zach Sealer or whatever. Just like, hey, I gotta see at least seven games this season because I am going to blow this thing to smithereens if they're 2-5 after seven games.
No, we talked about it. If like you're saying, if they're 7-10 and don't make the playoffs, I think they have to blow it up. Mm-hmm. But what if they are 9-8, get a wild card, and lose to a Ravens or somebody like that? Is that blow it up? Because you're still sitting right
it's
at 500.
It's not for me, because you know I didn't feel like blowing it up after this season. So, you know, like if they're in the playoffs, if they're in the postseason, to me, you're closer to being a Super Bowl team than you are starting from scratch.
The place that will be uncomfortable for me with that conversation, the Bills are going to go 12-5 or something better. What if they go 10-7? They don't win the division because the Bills are just very, very good. Now you go to the playoffs and you still don't win a playoff game. But you were 10-7. Like, yeah, that's where I would sit on that fence.
I'm pretty much good enough with that.
But it's so terrible. It was the Patriots for years. The Patriots were going to win the AFC East, and the Dolphins were trying to get a wild card. Soon as Tom Brady's ragged ass went to Tampa, now this Josh Allen comes and starts winning the AFC East. Like, we can't win for losing.
But I agree with, hey, like, sometimes you just chalk it up to that, right? Like Tom Brady. But you can't go 7 years with this guy, with the same person leading your organization, and the results are status quo, status quo, status quo, when you're 25 years into your organization not winning a playoff game, and not just say, well, we got to try something different, because clearly, like, this just isn't going anywhere. So if the Dolphins go 10-7 and they don't win a playoff game, you, like, if you're Steven Ross and you say, well, Josh Allen is Josh Allen, and at the very least, we had a winning season and we looked better. You got to be crazy to just say, we'll try that again.
Start it all over? If you were 10-7,
yes,
and made the postseason even as a wild card team, you would say, you know what? I wanted to win the Super Bowl. We didn't. We got to start over.
But Hawk, to answer that question, you have to look at your, you know, your comrades. You look around the league. The Lions were garbage. Dan Campbell's gets there, and they're going to the NFC Championship every single year. The damn Commanders, they draft Jaden Daniels, bring in Dan Quinn, and now they're going to NFC Championship games.
Bro, the Eagles won a Super Bowl in 2018, then did a whole regime change 2 years later, then were back in the Super Bowl, lost, then rebuilt their franchise, and we're back in the Super Bowl again. Three Super Bowl appearances in the same time frame that Chris Greer took over, single-handedly had the reins of this franchise, and has made two playoff appearances, yet to win a playoff game, and nothing to show for it. So I understand what Hawk is saying. You go 10-7, and you're going to say,
it's cutting off your blow nose it up. To spite your face. Like,
right, yeah, but yeah. But Hawk, you would agree, you have to look at a sample size also and say, seven seasons where you're not closer to the ultimate goal.
I get it, spinning but you your are close. But you are closer if you're 10-7.
But if you're getting
to that Super, but you take yourself further away if you blow it all up and
try something new. Try
That's
something
the
new.
The Texans are going to divisional games.
Commanders,
like, the Commanders go to the conference championship after 2 years of Dan Quinn.
I'm not arguing that there's been no results, because that's inarguable. Yeah. I'm just saying, if you do happen to go 10-7 and you're in the playoffs, what a weird time to go, ah, we gave it a shot this season, didn't win the Super Bowl, let's start over. Fans, sorry about it, but we'll talk to you in 2029 when we think we have this thing together. Like, I just don't see any organization. I see an organization who's had recent success doing that.
Yeah.
But it's been 25 years since a playoff win, something like that. Like,
yeah,
you can't start over if you feel like you're getting closer. Hard Rock Bet app, they do like a rewards drop on Thursdays. So if you do have the Hard Rock Bet app, log into your account now and then go to like rewards or notifications, and it says reward drop, and you hit it there and they'll put some stuff in your account. I just got a no sweat $50 MLB bet and stuff. Just giving you a little heads up. One of the texters was nice enough to remind me that the Hard Rock Bet app drop just started. I got a no sweat bet on golf up to $50. No sweat bet on MLB up to $50. Bet $200, get a $20 bonus bet.
So, Hawk, and this is to this conversation. Mike McCarthy in Dallas. 21-12-5. 22-12-5. 23-12-5. Lost in a wild card. Lost division. Lost in a wild card. They fired him.
Yes.
Their standards are higher than our standards.
I'm not suggesting that you could go 10-7, make a wild card game and not win a playoff game, and that it would be unheard of to fire the coach. I'm not suggesting that. I'm talking about, hey, get rid of Zach Sealer, get rid of Tua, Like, I'm talking about blowing it up roster-wise.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think you could keep Zach Sealer. I don't think he's the type of guy that you would move on from.
Why would you have a giant contract with someone? He wants a giant contract. Why would you have a giant contract with someone that you know you're not going to win anything in the next 2-3 seasons as you rebuild?
But Zach Sealer isn't Christian Wilkins. He's not somebody who's going to say, I want 5 years, $200 million, whatever. Well, it wouldn't be 200. Well, because he's not. Like, he's not comparable to Christian Wilkins, who was drafted by a team in the first round. And
but
who
was he's got better numbers. Bowler. Better numbers.
He's not. He also can't be the 30th highest paid interior D lineman in the NFL, which is what he is right now. So I think you can work with a guy like Zach Sealer, who's been through it all in the NFL. Somebody who's literally cut by a roster, found a spot in Miami, has become a cornerstone player in this franchise. You could work with him and say, hey, we'll make you the 12th highest paid interior D lineman in the NFL, and we'll pay you a bunch of money up front right now so that, you know, we're not paying you 5 years.
The money to pay a bunch of money up front.
They've got the money.
Well, we'll talk with Omar Kelly about it this hour.
I'll tell you, it's not Zach Sealer. You cannot have Waddle and Tyreek both making $30 million a year. That's the way you had to sacrifice. You can't have Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips now who has to get paid. You can't keep $30 million guys like that. It's not that easy.
Let's do headlines because Omar Kelly is going to join us this hour. Headlines brought to you by Doral Volkswagen. Choose from over 300 new Volkswagen models in stock like the Tiguan, Taos, and Atlas. Remember, when it comes to Volkswagen, the great deals are at Doral Volkswagen.
There was this article in CBSSports.com that said, like, one positive thing about every NFL team. They're just kind of like listing like one reason for optimism for all teams. You want to? I won't read it to you the entire thing, but do you just want to guess what it was for the Dolphins?
Tua.
One positive thing.
Like one reason for optimism for everybody.
And this is from whom?
CBSSports.com. Not sure why that makes a difference, but...
Well, I know how they lean politically. Dude. Yeah, that big 60 Minutes settlement. Yeah. I got nothing. I would go with Tua as well.
Or a healthy pass rush.
The offense remains among the best in the NFL. That's what they're saying. Yeah, the offense.
I agree. We had someone, it may have been Zach Gelb yesterday, where he's like, at best, they're a wild card team. And I'm like, you're sleeping on this roster, man. That roster, I'm telling you, Tua, Waddle, and Tyreek, I know you just talked about them as a negative contract-wise, but think about that. Those are weapons. And Devon Achane, like, I think he's an exciting back. Like, I don't think you should sleep on this roster.
Ollie Gordon, Jalen Wright. They have a lot of talent on the offensive side of the ball. Mm. We got to worry about the fat guys, but if the fat guys come through, we'll be set to go.
Darren Waller, if he's Darren Waller.
People healthy on the pass rush. Like, they have talent. You tell me Bradley Chubb's opposite of Jalen Phillips with Chop Robinson roaming around like Micah Parsons does.
That's a defense to fear.
Yep. Until Darth Cater's over there getting whooped.
You look good today, man. I saw it on the Panther on the Dolphins social media.
Listen, man, we'll know. We'll know week 3. Last year we knew week 2. Toast. Dunzo. This year we'll know week 3.
We did not. They were going to come back and win that game. I told you.
Right. They were going to come back and maybe eclipse 200 yards. Maybe. I don't know about win that game.
Short Dolphins, week, though, wasn't it? It was a short week.
It was, yeah.
What, boy.
And guess what? It'll be a short week this year also. They're going to play the Colts. They're going to play the Patriots on Sunday at home, and then they fly up to Buffalo. Short week, Thursday night football, to play the Buffalo Bills on the road, week 3.
I wish Hawk was my DC when I played. Hey, guys. You gave up 480, but, you know, it was slippery out there.
Los Modelins are off today. They're back at it tomorrow. They're on the road. They are in Milwaukee. And just some general Dolphins notes. Seems like Bayron Matos is doing very well. He's remaining in the care of doctors at the hospital, but the Dolphins did release a statement that he has movement in all extremities and is in stable condition. And the Dolphins did sign Cornell Armstrong today. He's a veteran cornerback. The Dolphins drafted him in 2018. He's played in 39 games, hasn't played since 2022, but that's because Artie Burns did tear his ACL.
All right.
Don't forget Dolphins' first public practice Saturday for any Dolphins fans that would like to be in attendance. Kane's opener versus Notre Dame is only 38 days away. I'm doing a countdown every day. Today, Bill Belichick spoke to the media at ACC Media Days.
We have some sound of it.
North Carolina. You think he was born in the NFL? Watch these college ones. Oh, my goodness. He's going to be annoyed.
And the only like big news around the NFL is that there was a scary moment in New York. Justin Fields carted off the field, back into the locker room. Turned out that somebody stepped on his toe. He had a dislocated toe. He's day-to-day.
All right.
All right. Your weather.
Nervous moments for Mike Greenberg this morning.
you would see, what was that, get up, first take, whatever it was?
Yeah. He couldn't even put his words together.
Man, he punted on the whole segment. He just stopped talking.
I remember feeling that way, though, during that Buffalo game when Tua went down. That's the feeling. We all felt it. Yep. That feeling of helplessness just overcomes you.
Here we go again.
All right. Your weather, it's 90 degrees, partly cloudy. It's hot as hell. That's your weather.
All right. Omar Kelly is going to join us in the next segment.
This is Hawk, Crowder, and Solana.
I'd like to officially go on record. I am wearing underwear today.
We've already started our conversation off the air about Superman. I've come to the conclusion Omar Kelly doesn't like fun. Omar Kelly's on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. He has covered the Dolphins for many years. He's a columnist with the Miami Herald. You can read his work in the actual Herald, the actual newspaper, the Herald app, or MiamiHerald.com. You have so many outlets. You know, I was at Wawa the other day, and I looked at a newspaper, one of your competitors. It was $4.50 for the daily. That was wild to me.
I am so amazed at how much they charge for newspaper now. And I'm just blown away. I'm like, are we really just trying to kill our business? Is this what we're doing?
Well, I mean, it's more costly. Everything's more costly nowadays.
I know.
And, but it was just jarring to me for someone who loved stopping at the machine to get a newspaper. And it was a quarter. It was always a quarter.
Yeah.
And to see it at $4.50 was wild.
I mean, most people don't even have a clue where they can actually get a physical newspaper right now. And that's sad. That's really sad. I remember when we used to be in school and they used to give us newspapers so we could read and you have to do projects out of it. Those days are long gone.
Hey, by the way, I do this every year when training camp comes around. We have the local writers on. I always say, don't forget. Don't just Bogart all the information that they're giving you via nefarious means. Subscribe to the Herald online, the app, or the Sun Sentinel, the Palm Beach Post. Support local journalism, because guys like Omar, they're out there sweating during a training camp. And honestly, it's nice that you can get content for free, but also I think it is so important to support the local journalists. And for me, like, if you're trying to consume as much Dolphins content as you can, like, throw a few bucks at the Herald app every month so that you get that stuff.
And our deal is $2 for 3 months right now. So we're basically giving it away for free. Obviously, the price is going to jack up on you, but, you know, you can do what you want to do after
that. It's good content, though. It's good content.
Yeah, no, yeah, definitely it's good content.
You still get the cartoons in there? You get Marmaduke? I'll get on to other stuff. Omar Kelly. So I do want to talk about Superman because he saw Superman, but I want to talk first about the Dolphins. And you've been there for a couple days now, obviously a couple injuries yesterday. We know Eric Azukama looked good yesterday. I saw a couple people saying Zach Wilson looked good today. But what's your overall feel of the Dolphins after a couple days of actual activity?
I don't think the offensive line is as good as we need it to be. I don't think the cornerbacks are as bad as people expect it to be. Now, obviously, the defensive line, our defense is always ahead of the offense at this point. So, and until you put pads on, you really can't make much sense of anything. But right now, I like what you're seeing from a pass rushing standpoint. I'm a little concerned with offensive line. They added some depth today because I had a concern going into camp. They don't have a backup left tackle, and that's a problem. And the cornerbacks, I got to say this. I understood what they were thinking and their thought process where we're going to throw all these young people against the wall and see who sticks. And they haven't disappointed so far. I can't tell you a day when I've been like, oh, that guy's been bad. You know, they're holding their own. They're holding their own. These young, inexperienced, no-name cornerbacks, they should call themselves the no-name boys. They are holding their own.
And you know, with the culture change, and now we're hearing that he's running them. You know, the whole thing was that they're running sprints after practice, toughing it up and all. But can you see a change of Mike McDaniel's approach, the change of a team, trying to become tougher or anything like that?
No. I was interesting that you bring this up because I wanted your take on it. I'm asking players, does culture come from the coach or does culture come from the locker room?
Oh, locker room.
Okay.
I say it all the time. I didn't give a damn about upsetting Nick Saban or Bill Parcells. I didn't want to upset Zach or Jason. That's where it has started.
That's the sentiment I'm getting from players around the league. Like, coaches don't set culture. Players in the locker room. And that's the interesting part of it because this is – and Zach said it today. Zach Sealer said it today. It's about don't let the little things stack up. Don't sweep it under the bed. Don't hide it under your covers. Address it. Talk about it. Call each other out. Speak on it. This moment of discomfort might lead to something positive down the line. And apparently that's what they weren't doing last year, where they were just not – things would happen that they didn't like, and they just wouldn't speak on it, and it just stack up on them. Mm. And you got to the point where really nobody liked anybody last year, even though they had a hell of a great time in 2023. They just weren't getting along in 2024. And that's the thing, when you face adversity, like people always say, oh, yeah, you know, I'm going to show you my culture or this or that, or, you know, we got a tough team. Let me know how you respond when they punch you in the mouth. Mm-hmm. After you get punched in the mouth is when I will tell whether you do or you don't have you don't have culture, because right now ain't nobody punching you in the mouth.
Yeah.
You brought up Zach Sealer. Should the Dolphins pay him? He says he deserves it. We were talking about it earlier, and I was mentioning that you think back to that 2023 team when things were clicking, right? Pretty much everybody outside of Tua, Waddle, Tyreek, all like the key guys of that team are gone. Zach Sealer on the defensive end is really the only guy left from that like core of guys. I was making the point, like, you can't let everybody walk if you really believe that the team you built, if you're Chris Greer, is talented. So I think they should pay him.
I think the question is a little bit more complicated than that, because they have him under contract for 2 years. They've already given him two deals earlier than they needed to. So now you'd be asking for a third. Now, has he always taken 70 cents on the dollar? Yes, he has. He's always taken a team-friendly, probably below-market deal just to secure the bag. And he's made $26 million over the course of his career so far. Zach will tell you, I'm very thankful and very appreciative about that. But now when you have him sitting here, probably have to hit every single incentive in the world to make $8 million when average defensive tackles are making 16, like – what are you going to do as a team and an organization, especially when this is the guy that you point to and say, he represents our culture. He makes up our culture. That is our worker. That is the guy we want everybody to follow. But you know what? We're not going to pay him. We're not going to take care of him. So why should I follow him? You're not going to take care of him. So
they're kind of forced. They're kind of forced then.
And Crowder can speak on this. You have to hold their hand behind their back and pull it up all the way till they feel pain for them to do something. This organization, you have to basically put a gun to their head for you to do something. Now, Zach is not doing that right now. Zach is working. He's saying, I need to show these young guys the right way, how we do things. That's not in my character. That's not who I am. But will there come a point where he says, where the contract negotiations aren't going favorably, and he says, screw it, I'm shutting it down? I don't know. I have absolutely no idea. But it this organization, like Chris Greer and Steve Ross, this predates Mike McDaniel, have prided themselves on doing the right thing. Like, hell, there are, as they call, big A fans. Their name of them are big A fans. There's like five of them in the bleachers. It's windy as hell sitting there in the bleachers. It's hot, but you got a cool little wind. I don't even know how much that costs, but they put those fans in there for the fans. Mm-hmm. That's the type of organization they run. If you don't take care of Zach Seeler, if you don't just say to Zach, hey, Zach, we're going to give you this $16 million in guaranteed money. We're going to give you a $14 million signing bonus. We're going to extend your contract 2 years, you know, whatever the rate is. But here's a check for $12 million, Zach. We love you. We appreciate you. Like, if you don't just make that extension of respect, like, your locker room is going to say you ain't backing up what you're talking. And yeah. that's a bad message to send.
And oh, but they did. I think they kind of, like you're saying, as I'm with you, I think I was 8 hours away from free agency until they gave me my money in, oh, you know, 07, whatever it was, 08. But they paid, they restructured Ramsey. Then they gave Tyreek more money. Then they gave Waddle more money. Then they had to pay Tua. So it seemed like they were opening up the piggy bank, opening up the pocketbook. But now with the success or lack of success they had, do you think they're going to now go back the other way where it's like, we were paying folks and not doing nothing. We can't pay just everybody. It didn't work.
A lot of those players force the issue. Like Ramsey was like, you know, I don't know if I'm going to be healthy enough for this season opener. Like I got these groins, or maybe it's my knee. I don't know what it is, but something is preventing me from playing. And Tyreek, they should have done that deal earlier. I don't know why they didn't do that deal earlier, because it would have helped them create cap space. But yes, a lot of the contracts that they did and extensions turned out to be mistakes. But just because you make a mistake these other four times, does that mean you're going to be making a mistake with Zach Seeler? Like, what has Zach Seeler ever done wrong in this organization? Name me the one thing he's ever done that you said, you know what? Yeah, that's a little sketchy.
Lead us to a playoff win.
Not a one man band.
He got a lot of work to do on the D-tackle.
You rolled your eyes, Omar, when I said people were saying that Zach Wilson looked good today. You rolled your eyes a little bit. You do not think Zach Wilson looked good?
No.
Mistake? Was that a mistake as the backup for Tua?
No, I think it's the best that they can do. It was the best that – and I trust me, I dig deep in this. It was the best that they can do.
Josh Dobbs, man.
No, Josh Dobbs got more money.
He did? Are you sure?
You might be right. No, Josh Dobbs might not have gotten more money. I agree. I love Josh Dobbs. They wanted to invest in Zach Wilson. They paid him handsomely to do that. He has a strong arm. There's inaccuracy at times. The decision making isn't as quick. But I don't think a lot of quarterbacks did not want to come in this situation because they knew, you're not getting a chance unless Tua gets hurt. Tua has such a great mastery of the offense. You're not beating him out. You're not even coming close. Now, would you have had a great chance to play? Yeah, absolutely. But then all the pressure's on you because you got to save the season now. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if everybody wanted that. I don't know if everybody wanted that. You know, these backup quarterbacks, man, they got the best job in the world. They get a lot of money, and they just stand there and hold the clipboard and got to help the quarterback get prepared and, you know, and practice. Like, nobody's looking – nobody's realistically looking to evaluate what Zach Wilson did. He was okay today, I haven't seen good. He's okay. He's okay. Hmm. He's okay. I would never say he did a good job today. No.
That story, the big story, what was that, 2 days ago with Tua coming out and saying, no, Tyreek has to prove back or get our trust back and all. What is he going to do? Is he going to get chicken nuggets for the team? Like, what is the – it sounds good and it's a good story when you read it on ESPN. But what really –
He meant that with every the one thing you can always expect about from Tua, and I don't know why he's wired like this, he will always tell the truth. Always. Because he could have given you a politically correct answer. He like, nah, we not good. He like, no, you can't say what you said and say my bad. He literally said that. Like, you can't say what you said. You can't do what you did and then be like, oh, my bad. Like, it don't work like that. You gotta consistently show me what your actions. Even Tyreek has said he doesn't expect to be voted a captain. Mm-hmm. Like, he said that during OTAs. He's like, yeah, I'm messed up. I don't expect to be voted a captain again. Tyreek has to show people with his actions. And that's my thing about Tyreek. Tyreek says a lot of things. How much does he back up with his actions? It's very little. Like,
I love Tua calling him out that way. I loved it. I thought it was a good leadership moment from Tua.
It was. And people don't see all of the leadership moments. Like, there's no Tua is clearly head and tails, the defined clear leader of this team. It's probably him, Minka, Zach Sealer, Jordan Brooks, Cater, Aaron Brewer. The leadership has Bradley Chubb. The leadership has stepped forward. That was one of my biggest concerns. I was like, man, you're losing some hella leaders. Calais Campbell and Teron Armstead might be the best leaders I've ever seen in my career. Like, with the exception of Zach and Jason, you know. But I'm proud of the way that a lot of the leaders have stepped up, and they're like, yeah, we're going to be way more accountable to one another. And this isn't going to be, you know, the same thing that, you know, we're not going to look the other way when people start showing up late and, you know, and not showing up to practices when they feel like it. Cause that's really Tyreek last year. Tyreek walked onto the practice field after they had done 7-on-7s, jumped into 11-on-11s. Roast the cornerback, run 20 routes, and then my day is done. Like, and that was okay. Like,
I got to ask, you bring up Minka Fitzpatrick. What did y'all do to Minka when he was here before that he hates y'all now? That joker said, I ain't talking to damn one of y'all.
It's because we remember what happened. We remember. I'm still to this day. Remember him sitting in the lunch table in Davey with Brian Flores. And you can see Flores is like animated and yelling. And Minka just sitting there like, yeah, nah, dog. Like it was – Minka does not want to talk about why he left. It's like, you know, you got an ex. Now you circle the block. Do you want to talk about the old days? Y'all back together now. You want to talk about the old days and what happened then? And, you know, I'm sure he does it because he doesn't want to have to explain it. He said to this fan base, all right, peace, I'm out. This is too much for me over here. Wow. I got to go. But the man's whole family lives here. That was the surprising part to me. I didn't even know his family lives here. Even Tua talked about having to sit down with him and like figure out what's fact from fiction about what happened back in the days. And, you know, Tua is a Brian Flores survivor too. So I'm sure they can relate some stories. So it's, you know, It's a lot of people who are Brian Flores survivors out there. You know, I'm one of them. We're all
Brian Flores survivors.
we can all speak about some of our experiences. It's a little traumatizing.
Before we run out of time, Omar, so you texted me a couple days ago that Superman was one of the five worst movies you've seen in your lifetime.
Yep.
Omar, why do you not like fun?
I don't like stories that have bad, dumb, stupid plot lines, horrible beginning. Maybe I picked up and it had another Superman series that I didn't see before. But it's just like, huh? Like, nothing made sense. Now Superman's got robots working for him, and he's got a dog, and him and Lois Lane, they doing it. It just literally made no sense.
You're a Superman fan, though, right? Aren't you a big Superman fan, or no? Did I get that wrong?
I'm more of an X-Man fan. No, I'm not a Superman fan. I'm a more of a Marvel X-Man fan. I'm not the DC fan. I'm more of a Marvel guy. But I tried it, and I know y'all have talked about it, and I wanted to see it for myself. Oh, my God. I put it right up there with Mulholland Drive or something like that in terms of, like, you remember the really bad movies, and Superman is a really bad movie.
Were you in a bad mood or something? No, it was so much fun, and it was just happy, and it was a comic book. It was a comic book come to life.
I can understand your point, but the comic book was such a bad... It's like they literally took the comic book, all 30 pages, and made a movie of it. Didn't add anything. It's just like, oh, this picture here, let's do that. And this picture here, let's do that. It was so badly written. The acting was mediocre. Oh, my God. The black guy who... His acting is horrible. Oh, his... but I've always not liked him. It was such a bad movie.
Which guy are you talking about?
The other, he was part of the other characters that came.
Okay, not the newspaper guy.
No. He probably needs to have more of a role because I know he's a good actor.
Yeah.
It was a bad movie. Let's stop discussing. It was so good.
Certainly my favorite movie of the year. It was my favorite movie of the year. And I'm not even a superhero guy. I just had so much fun from the first scene to the last. I was smiling and enjoying it. Like there was I didn't want the movie to end.
You clearly don't want complicated movies.
I do not want complicated movies. I do not.
You don't want to think about anything. Nope. You don't want character development.
Correct. See,
this is why you don't put respect. You're going to put some respect on Riddick's name. Because Riddick and Pitch Black series, that is an awesome movie. That is his number one movie. Riddick,
have you ever seen Boiler Room?
I think I have. I'm not 100% sure, but I think I have.
Vin Diesel's best movie by a wide margin. Okay,
maybe I need to see it. Maybe I need
Chronicles
to
see it. Of Riddick. Hawk.
Chronicles of Riddick. Yes. Oh, I still quote that. Keep what you kill. Come on, man. Like,
did they give you bad popcorn at Superman?
No,
was the Slurpee not made right? Something was up. Someone was in your seat.
No, I watched it at home. I watched it at home.
That's not the way to watch a big summer blockbuster.
No.
That's not now the truth comes out.
You know that was grainy.
Exactly. It was actually good. It was actually good quality.
Exactly.
Actually good quality.
Nah, it was grainy. They put the big I watched a lot of movies that way. Any movie that you have bought on a DVD from the Pollo Tropical parking lot is not like going to watch a summer blockbuster.
I love the thought of going to the corner store to get his movie.
You know he used to be the bootleg DVD man in the locker room, right?
Oh, we know. That was his retirement fund.
Yeah, yes, man.
That was his side. That used to probably pay his mortgage, right?
You know I got in trouble for that. They told me I had to stop selling candy and DVDs.
Yeah, he's been telling me, he's still trying to get me to buy like a Rocky IV for a buck.
But I said, man, leave my chalkboard alone. Ain't nobody fooling with nobody. Goodness.
Well, yeah. Now the truth comes out. There's only one way to see a summer blockbuster, and that's not on a bootleg DVD.
I've seen so many good movies that way. Unbelievable. That was such a
bad. I'm glad we got to the truth.
No.
You can completely discount
it was a
Omar's
good
opinion on the movie.
I'm telling you, completely discount
his opinion.
Sound the was good. That's
Omar Kelly. Read his work in the Miami Herald. Check out the Herald app, miamiherald.com. See you, Omar.
I guess.
There you go, Omar Kelly. 5 o'clock Funky Buddha happy hour is coming up. Do not go anywhere.
You're listening to the Hawk, Crowder, and Solana Show.
Somebody has dubbed me on the text machine Bad Bet Bunny.